Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 5, beginning at the 13th verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, from today's psalm, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land, and the generation of the upright will be blessed. And so, Jesus' words to us today, blessed are you. Blessed are you. From the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And being a sermon, anyone can come and listen, but it is specifically addressed not just to anyone. Jesus addresses his message to those who believe in him, to his disciples. That's what we read. Seeing the crowds, it says, Matthew 5, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, his disciples, saying, maybe you can finish the sentences, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. But those people Jesus was just talking about there, they don't sound like the mighty in the land. And they don't sound like people who are blessed. What they sound like is people who are the weakest, and who are the least, and who are the failures, and who are the losers. And yet, when you get to the end of the game, like the Super Bowl or like the Olympics, when you get to the end of the game, who's carrying the trophy? Who's wearing the medal? Who has the crown? Who's celebrating? Jesus looks at his disciples, he looks at you and me, and he says, it's you. You alone. Washed clean in the blood of Jesus, standing righteous before your God forever, inheriting his kingdom, you and you alone. And with that, the good Lord could take you right to eternal life. Right now is the moment you become saved, the moment you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment you believe in him, the moment you say Jesus is Lord by the working of the Holy Spirit. The Lord could do that, and sometimes he does. But most of the time, he says to us, you know, I want you to stay here for a bit. I want you to stay here for a bit because I've got a job for you. And the job that I have for you is that you're going to spread some salt like they do on the roads. You're going to spread some salt. You're going to shine some light. You alone, you believers, are the salt of the earth. Unbelievers are not the salt of the earth. They may be nice people, They may make contributions to society, but they don't have the Holy Spirit, and because of that, they are only incidental to the Lord's ultimate purposes. Jesus says, you alone, you believers, are the salt of the earth. Of course, we use salt differently today, don't we? We have refrigerators and freezers, and look on the back of a Twinkie, you have what? Preservatives. Back then, they had preservatives too, but not too many. It was smoking or salting, putting salt on things. And it served a purpose. It kept meat from rotting and smelling and getting covered with maggots. And so it is, left to itself, that's what this world would become, without the salt of the earth. Book of Genesis, chapter 6. The Lord looked, and he saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved into his heart. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord salted the world with Noah. And so also the Lord salts the world with his people today, that by your presence and my presence, in some way he might slow down this world from becoming totally corrupt. Which tells you that the Lord still cares about this life. He does. He cares about this world until the day that he returns. And I suppose we could stop there. But actually, God's word, I hope you realize, goes just a little bit farther. Takes us a step further. Because to stop there is to have something less than the central work of God. Our Lord Jesus came into this world, and why did he come into this world? Did he come into this world to make it a more livable place? Or did he come into this world to seek and to save that which was lost? And so, back then, and like today, salt has a role of preserving things. But like back then, so also today, salt also has a role of flavoring things, to bring a different flavor into the world. And you know how salt works. You can put all manner of spices or all manner of herbs on something, on a dish that you've made, and you taste and you go, you know, there needs something. What does it need? Just a little salt. And what does the salt do? Boing, it brings out the flavors. It brings out all the good tastes. And so also the Lord Jesus has us here to bring a different flavor to things, a flavor that wouldn't otherwise be noticed. And though we may doubt the wisdom of the Lord in handing this over to us, the Lord uses you and me to bring another flavor into the world, the flavor of the Lord Jesus. Now, you could say, well, we've got preachers for that. We've got missionaries to do that. And if you say that, that's true. But you know, human beings are funny creatures. The people that surround you are funny and interesting creatures because people are usually watching you more than they are listening to you. Now, the preacher might preach a great sermon. You say, oh, you should come to our church, and that's good. But I will say to you, there's also another sermon in town that's being preached every single day. What is it? You, your actions. Book of Galatians chapter 6. What is it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Fruits of the Spirit. That's a sermon. There's another sermon in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. St. Paul says, I'm going to show you a still more excellent way. Love is patient and kind. Love doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's a sermon when it's preached. And so Jesus says something in the lesson for today, and you want to pay attention to it because it's not always what we say when we hear his words. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." He doesn't say, "You know, you must become the salt of the earth. You need to try to be the salt of the earth. You know, folks, you got to make more of an effort to be the salt of the earth. Folks, you got to end up being more like salt." He doesn't say that. He doesn't peck away at us like that. He says simply, "Here's a fact I'm going to tell you. You already are the salt of the earth. By virtue of the fact that you're God's baptized children, by virtue of the fact that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, your life already is a testimony to the message of salvation in Jesus. And because of that, you are the only Bible some people will ever read. You alone, Jesus says, are the salt of the earth. You alone are the light of the world." And then he makes the obvious point. You don't light a light and then put it under a basket, right? What's the point? You want it to shine. You want everybody to be able to use it. You want everybody to be able to enjoy it. And that's just a believer talking. You want it to shine. What's a little kid's song? "This little light of mine, I'm going to what? Let it shine." You just want that to happen because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You hunger and thirst to know more of Jesus, and you hunger and thirst to show more of Jesus. You hear his word. Why? Because his word is a lamp to your feet, a light to your path, and so also for everyone around you. You also pray as a child of God. You pray like John the Baptist did. His words, when he knew about the Lord Jesus, he said what? "He must increase, I must decrease. Lord, less of me and more of you." Of course, that's an old prayer. They've been praying that one for at least 800 years. 800 years ago, a believer in the Lord wrote down this little prayer. He said, "Thanks be to thee, my Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits you have given me, for all the pains and all the insults that you have borne for me. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly day by day." Or if you like it simple, you can just sing, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me what? Burning, 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 keep me burning till the break of day." And so, praise the Lord. "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed." And maybe you look at yourself and it sounds like you're one of the weakest and one of the least and a failure and a loser. But when you get to the end of the game, what's the question? Who is carrying the trophy? Who is wearing the crown? Who has the medal? Who's celebrating? You and me as believers, and us alone. Washed in the blood of Jesus, standing righteous before our God forever, inheriting his kingdom. You and me alone. And then the Lord says, "Guess what? I got a little job for you. And my job is to spread a little salt, to shine a little light, so that other people too may see these things and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen."